Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's good to be here, and I just want to take a moment to thank Laurel and Bishop John for allowing me to preach the good news to you this evening. It's good to see some colleagues as well. There is something both relaxing and delightful about building a sandcastle close to the water and watching it slowly get washed away by the surf. There is something even more perfect about watching a younger sibling build a sandcastle and then stomping it, knowing that you are faster than them and will be able to get away from them as they swipe at you with their plastic spade. Now, regardless of which scenario you were able to identify with most, I think we all know which scenario most of you identified with. Regardless of which scenario you identified with, Jesus is about building up, not about knocking down. We hit this passage in Matthew as Jesus has been talking nonstop. Like if you have one of those red letter Bibles, it's just like red, red, red. Jesus has been talking nonstop for two solid chapters since the beginning of chapter 5, where he starts with, and I know you all know the answer, yes, it's the Beatitudes. So he starts with the Beatitudes and he's talking to his disciples, and the crowd on the mountain is growing and growing and growing. And people are being blown away because here is this guy who, unlike the scribes and Pharisees, doesn't appeal to precedent to argue his points or to interpret the scriptures. Instead, this guy just knows it. And this, I think, is something that we encounter when we meet Jesus, either for the first time or in those unexpected moments. We just know something. We know something to be deep and true in the words of either scripture or in that still, quiet voice or however you meet God. Now, the bit right before where we kicked off, Jesus has just finished cautioning the crowds about self-deception, which is pretty cheerful stuff. He's trying to reinforce to the crowds and also to us that everything he's just been teaching them for two red page chapters, everything he's been saying, it's not enough to repeat these things or to sort of mutter them in our prayers. It's not about talking the talk. It is also about walking the walk. And where does this long walk through life together as a community and on our own, walking beside Jesus, where does it take us? Well, Paul nails it. It takes us to places that are beyond what we can even ask or imagine. Paul prays for the church in Ephesus that they will receive comprehension of the breadth and length and height and depth that is Christ's peace, and may know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge or all understanding, that they may be filled with the fullness of God. You know those moments where you feel so full you could burst? He's praying for them. I hope you get this. I hope you feel the wisdom that Jesus is preaching, that I have tried in my human way to convey to you. He prays they receive wisdom. We are, I think, probably the only species that since the beginning of our existence has constantly sought wisdom and knowledge. If we think back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, we hear that Eve sees the fruit and thinks, oh yeah, that looks well tasty, I want some of that. But also is tempted because she is eager for knowledge and wisdom. Jesus spends two chapters in Matthew's Gospel telling us what that wisdom looks like. And it doesn't look like anything that we could just understand without being taught it. And I think that's why the Bible is just sort of a series of repetitive stories teaching us the same thing again and again and again, patiently, hopefully, giving us this wisdom. Wisdom looks like the actions and behaviors of walking the Jesus way. Hearers and doers, that's what Jesus is talking about by the time he gets to the building code section. Jesus has just spent these two chapters laying out the foundation for following God's way. One of my seminary professors, Jason Biasi, who I actually argued with quite a bit because unfortunately for him, he's a Presbyterian, but a good guy. I know, wild. Jason Biasi summarized this whole sort of couple of chapters, I think, in one of the best ways I've heard, and I hope he's listening this evening because I've never told him this. But he says, to build a life on enemy love, the love of enemies, non-retaliation, and the return of good for evil will feel like a life lived inside a hurricane. The house will shake, whirl, creak, and threaten to give. In other words, it'll be terrifying. The house on sand won't do this. Why? Because it won't be there. When we hit these hurricanes without God's wisdom and God's peace and God's understanding, like children's castles getting either washed away or stomped viciously by older siblings, there is no foundation and they're just gone. The house built on Jesus' teachings is the house on rock, is where wisdom lives as a guide for those who are willing to listen. Because the thing about hearing and then doing is that first we have to listen. Now, luckily for you guys, St. David and St. Paul's, Laurel was listening when God called to her and was like, Powell River, to be your priest. And luckily for Laurel, you are really awesome listeners who have weathered storms and taken time to discern exactly what the Spirit is asking of you in this place. Laurel, you have come to a place that started in a kindergarten classroom where the teacher's desk was used as an altar in the 1920s. There was no building, only a foundation of faith. A foundation of faith that I know is so solid in you and that you mirror in your heart and in the way you carry yourself day to day in your ministry and in your life with Lisanne. As I have said to this congregation many times, and as I will say to you, I am so flipping stoked to have you as my priest. And unbeknownst to you lot, Laurel has already been pastoring to me through this whole process. We got a really good one. And people, did you know that Laurel is an excellent builder, a carpenter, in fact, which sounds pretty Jesus-y to me? Laurel knows how to build all kinds of beautiful things. So, you know, a pew breaks, call Laurel. And over the course of Laurel's career, she has built up congregations in the Episcopal Church south of the border, and most recently in our own diocese down in Maple Ridge. Laurel is a fine builder with a heart for Jesus and the Jesus way of life. She is also not Jesus, so don't put that on her. Parish Council, I'm looking at you. I have observed that there is a tendency when a new priest arrives, not necessarily here, this is a case study that I won't apply to any particular place, that sometimes when a new priest arrives, people want to protect certain things that the church has always done, or they want to seize the opportunity to quietly change something or move furniture even behind closed doors. Now is not the time for that. Now is the time to be open, like the people in the crowds listening to Jesus teach on that mountain. Now, as a community, a couple of years ago, you had to stop and listen at length to figure out who to call to be your priest. And you did it, and you got a bloody good one. Now, you have to listen all over again. You have to listen for where the Spirit is calling you now that you have this person that Bishop John says has these particular gifts. Things will be different now. You have to listen to Laurel as she seeks to understand who you are and who our neighbours in this incredible place are. Remember along the way that we all share the same foundation that Jesus gave us. So get ready to act, knowing that the Jesus way is like living inside of a hurricane sometimes. But when we act with the intention of having the fruits of our labors weighed in front of Christ, no harm can come to us, because when we act in righteousness, that is when we receive grace. Immediately after Jesus is done with that section of teaching that we heard today on that mountain, he heads back down the mountain with his disciples. We don't hear that there's a mass conversion of the crowds. All we hear is disciples. We have no idea how many. Jesus goes down the mountain and begins doing, modeling for them exactly what he's just said. And a leper comes to him and says, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me well." And he says, "I do choose. I do choose. Be made clean." We follow the God who said, "I do choose. I choose every single one of you. No matter who you are or who you love or where you come from, we follow the God that said, I choose you." And that is what we are called to do in this place. Laurel chose you and you chose her. And now you're going to have some time to listen and start doing the work of Jesus together. Or continue doing the work of Jesus together. Freudian slip. Who knows what will happen? Who knows what the next chapter looks like? But one thing we can be absolutely certain of is that it will contain more than we can ask or imagine. Amen.